11 to 1 on LMFM with Gilmore's Kings Court. Test drive the awesome new 2019 Mercedes-Benz C-Class today, where control and balance is awesome and the build is strong. Elevate your presence with the new 2019 Mercedes-Benz E-Class from Gilmore's Kings Court. Find out more at Gilmore's or see gilmores.ie.
Mike Thalasitis is a name that a lot of us are hearing an awful lot more about at the minute. He appeared on popular reality TV show Love Island and he tragically passed away, and his death has sparked public outcry with many calling for proper aftercare for participants of reality TV shows like this. And in fact, Pamela Anderson spoke out yesterday calling for an end to reality TV shows, saying that they're an epidemic of ugliness. However, with more of our children aspiring to be like these ordinary people who find fame on these reality shows, awareness around the effect it can have on the mental health of the well-being of the participants needs to be addressed. Joining me now to discuss this further is Jason Brennan. He's a qualified psychotherapist with over 20 years experience in the area of mental health. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm good, Sinead. Good afternoon to you and thanks for asking me on.
Not at all. Great to have you. I think, tragically, Jason, it has taken somebody to die for there to be any sort of awareness around reality TV shows and how being a participant on them can affect your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sad, the loss of Mike. I mean, Mike was a young guy. He was 26 years of age, so he was in the prime of his life, really, and he had it all ahead of him. And I was just looking at some of the stats. I think they say it's about 38 people have died in relation to, appearing on reality TV since 1986. And again, most of the people appearing on these channels or on these episodes, they are young people in their prime. They're kind of setting out into the world, and they're setting out trying to make a name for themselves. But the toll is very high in terms of how they're putting themselves out there. And I think what we're finding out now through this tragedy and the other tragedy also with Sophie recently is that what's there for them after they appear? You know, what's the follow-up, how they're being taken care of?
Yeah, because we know, God, I didn't realise 38, that's such a high number. I didn't realise it was that many. But, you know, we know from reports that say, you know, there are therapists and counsellors on site with them whilst they're in the actual midst of the process of being on this reality TV show. But a lot of people coming out now and saying they literally send you off back into the world and they don't follow up. I mean, what sort of long-term effect can this have on somebody?
Well, it can have quite a long-term effect based on how they present it on the TV program. Because, again, they receive an awful lot of coverage in a very short time. And one of the challenges with being on these programs is, of course, it hits the social media and lots of people can feed into that, the whole world, actually. And because people are watching them, they're criticizing, they're judging them. And they're seeing, they're not seeing the person. They're seeing how they are on the TV show. So they're not imagining that when they're commenting through social media in a negative or critical way, either about how they look or how they presented or what they said, they're removing the fact that these are hurtful things that will hurt this person. And of course, if you get a load of them in a short time, that's going to affect somebody's identity in terms of their self-esteem and how they see themselves. And of course, this can go on for quite some time. So it can have a major effect long term because of the exposure, the type of exposure and the criticism that comes their way.
Now, thankfully, ITV and directors of Love Island anyway have taken steps to provide more care for participants once they leave the kind of glamour and everything of the villa. If you were treating somebody who'd been in that sort of scenario, what would you advise that they might do? Or like, is it a case that they should slowly make their way into the spotlight or remove themselves from the spotlight? I mean, what would one do in this scenario?
It's different strokes for different folks, but first and foremost would be to be connecting with their support networks. So the people who do care about them and do love them and will help them through whatever period, but also ongoing in life. So who are their friends, who are their family that they can connect into? Because it is quite extreme in that it happens so quickly nowadays that it's a real kind of hit to the system. So who are your support networks? Plus also it would be a case of coming away from the social media so that they're not putting themselves out there. They're not reading about it, because that's one of the hardest things, is to constantly read these judgments and these negativities. Now, it's a very difficult thing to remove oneself from social media and reading it. I mean, we're all affected by this nowadays. It's we consume a lot of social media, and there's some research starting to come out gradually because it's only fairly new. But this is not so good for our mental health. It's not so good for our identity. So sometimes we have to kind of just remove ourselves or kind of restrict how we're accessing social media for our health and well-being. And for our kind of sense of self and identity. So what I'd be working with these people on is getting back to who they are, not who they were presenting to be on these shows, but back to the real person, the lovely parts of themselves that they may be neglecting, and also how they want to be going forward. You know, why did they do it in the first place? Is it really something they want to continue to do now that they've done it? How can they protect themselves going forward? Because there's lots of opportunities in the world. It's not just about appearing on TV or social media. We've got lots of things that we can bring to the world. So I'll be helping them through that. But also, for sure, there would be a lot of grief and loss attached to it. It's unpleasant when people are attacking us. So we're going to feel that. So how do we manage ourselves through that? And how do we take care of ourselves as best we can?
And I mean, I think for parents as well, you know, a lot of children nowadays, if you ask them what they want to be when they grow up, they say they want to be a celebrity or a YouTuber or somebody that's from Love Island, or do you know what I mean? Like, this is kind of worrying. And it's something that children think is more attainable than, say, becoming a Hollywood actor or something like that. You know, they see ordinary folk going into the likes of Big Brother and coming out famous. But and really, this is something that parents need to be aware of as well, isn't it?
Very much so. And, you know, it's natural that young people want to be like that and want to identify with these people, because we all did it, you know, when we were growing up. You know, might have been wanting to be in a band or wanting to be like this person or wanting to be successful or, you know, have money. All these things that we, you know, as we're growing up, we like to identify with. However, as you were saying there, Sinead, it's a bit different nowadays because there's so much accessible to us, and there's so much out there. Whereas, you know, if you go back in history, it was like the radio, then it was the TV, then the internet has opened up a whole lot, including being able to film and video yourself from home, which never existed before, and get it out there quickly. So very quickly you can kind of get your image out to the world, and that becomes very appealing for young people, because, you know, there is money in it, there's no question about it. A lot of these young people have been very, very successful, and that becomes again very appealing because it looks like, you know, they're doing something they love and they're making a ton of money out of it, and they're having a great life. But what we don't see behind the scenes is, you know, how hard it is also to, you know, keep that up, and what are the numbers of actual success. But again, it's you know, if you look at YouTube, there's tons of stuff out there, and there's young people really wanting to naturally mimic this. But what we need to do with the young people is make sure that their feet are grounded. You know, why is it that you want to pursue that? Why is it that you like that character? What do you think it will lead to? Because, again, behind the scenes, there is an awful lot of work that's put in that we don't see. It looks quite instantaneous.
Yeah. Oh, God. Great advice there, Jason. Absolutely. Now, you are really busy at the moment. Last time we had you on on LMFM, you were talking to us about Video Doc, but now you've launched a new platform. It's called Video Therapy, which I think is going to be really helpful for people who are struggling with mental health issues.
Yeah. We you can still see a video therapist through Video Doc. We're up and running, but what we're doing next month is we're separating it out to have its own platform. The reason being is we want to make it as easy as possible for somebody to hook into a qualified accredited therapist, have a few sessions, have a talk about what might be going on. You know, even if it's have a talk about, you know, you're worried about your kids watching too much YouTube or watching too much screen time, or what are the strategies that you can do there. So we're setting up the platform so you can access it easily from anywhere, so from your home or from your car, from your work, and also to make it much more cost effective. The reason the platform is set up separately is just for usability, to make it just a bit easier to get through. Instead of clicking three things, you click one thing and you're away.
And as well, it's going to mean as well that, you know, you don't have to wait around for a therapist to have a free appointment. You can kind of, you know, in terms of a face-to-face appointment, you can get to the service quicker.
Yeah, and it's the next best thing to face-to-face. I mean, this is where technology is actually useful. So there's a lot of technology that's creating a lot of hassle in our life, but But this is a good way of using technology in that, yeah, it connects you straight through to a therapist, so you don't have to leave your own home, and it's quick and it's efficient, and it removes some of those barriers, because it can be difficult sometimes to, one, make that first call to book in a session. But if you're going to an office, then it can be quite anxiety provoking just to go there. So we introduced it, therapy as a way that actually this is user-friendly, easy to have a talk through with things. And if you do want to go and see somebody face-to-face, we can help arrange that. And it's a little bit more easier then to do that.
And when do you hope to have it available and up and running?
We're hoping mid-April.
Mid-April. But for now, people can go over to videodoc.ie still and access it through that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can go in and just book a session. Usually same day. And it goes through to about 8 p.m. at night at the moment. And we're hoping that eventually it will be 24 hours at some stage.
Well, Jason, thanks so much for joining us on 11 to 1, giving us lots of food for thought there, and the best of luck with video therapy when it launches.
Thanks so much. Take care.
That's Jason Brennan there. Now, you can check it out, videodoc.ie, at the minute. And as Jason said there, the video therapy platform will be launched in mid-April.
11 to 1 on LMFM with Gilmore's Kingscourt. Test drive the awesome new 2019 Mercedes-Benz C-Class today, where control and balance is awesome and the build is strong. Elevate your presence with the new 2019 Mercedes-Benz E-Class from Gilmore's Kingscourt. Find out more at Gilmore's or see gilmores.ie. LMFM.